GNC 493. It's Tuesday, July 14th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone got a great show lined up for you. It's a great start of the week. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. Of course, you want to check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Of course, I want to welcome all of the Ohana to the show. Hey, thanks for coming out, hanging out. And for those of you that are on Ustream, hey, thanks for joining the live stream as late as it is. Kind of surprising that we've got this many people in when it's the middle of the night on the East Coast, at least 2 o'clock, 2:20 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time, 11:20 p.m. Pacific. And, of course, many of you are listening to the show. depends on when you have downloaded and decided to play it. But you are my most important listeners. Thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana. And for those of you new to the show, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, you can sign up for the podcast by just simply clicking on the iTunes link, and that will load the subscribe to the show, and then you'll be able to automatically download it and have it delivered directly to your MP3 player, whether it be an iPod Touch, an iPod, or if you use a Zune, make sure you can subscribe for the Zune Marketplace. Multiple ways to subscribe to the show so you can get it automatically. That's the key, and that way you'll never forget or miss an episode. You always sign up for our newsletter as well. That'll get you a twice-weekly reminder of the show. This newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about tonight during the podcast, including listener links, include any of the content, of course, any of the hyperlinks back to the content, so that you can get direct access to that via email tomorrow morning, or actually whenever you have picked up your email. So, you know, when I record this show, you know, I'm so used to you guys. You know, here it's an evening here in Honolulu, and I know tomorrow morning that the majority of you will be downloading the show, or will have downloaded it automatically, and will have it in your iPods as you leave for work, to get on a bus, train, to drive, however you may be going to work, walking, and you'll be listening to me either on Tuesday morning or Friday morning. And some of you listen a few days later. That's okay as well. But make sure you have your iTunes and Zune Marketplace set up to synchronize every Tuesday and Friday morning so that you don't miss the show. And, of course, that email reminder helps you out as well. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on here. And I think I mentioned it a couple of shows ago when I got home. We had an electrician into the house. And I've been really worried about the studio because the studio, let's put it this way. I am very close to maxing out the power in this room. And it's not pretty. It really, really isn't, because as many computers as I've got plugged in, the different lights, the different peripherals, the modems, you just name it, the cameras, everything else. Definitely we are straining the two circuits that I'm on right now. So I had an electrician come in, and my wife has some things that she wants done in the house, and he's going to do that. And we're also going to bring a big honking big power grid into the studio here, so I don't have to worry about pressing the amps too hard on the actual breaker. And we're going to have some filtered power. It's going to be pretty cool that what we're going to do is having some extra juice brought in here to the studio. Along with that, my koi pond is getting some rework. And to make that safe so no one has any issues outside with, you know, electricity and water, you always want to have an electrician do that kind of work. And we're definitely going to be getting that cleaned up. So hopefully he'll start next week. I don't know what's going to happen here in the office. I hope he can do it in one day so I don't disrupt things too bad in here. But I know I'm going to have to move some desk out of the way so he can bring the new drops in. So we'll see what happens next week. You guys can watch as the as the construction takes place. Did get the word today and sent an email off to one of the organizers at Blog World Expo. The Blog World and New Media Expo, which is happening in October, I am going to be speaking at that event. So if you're coming out to Blog World, you'll definitely want to, and if you haven't decided yet, well, you've got another reason to come. I'm going to be doing a session on taking your podcast to the next level. And it really is going to be, okay, you've done the basics. You've done the things that you think you need to do, but let's kick the volume up a little bit and take your podcast to the next level. And we'll be going into lots of great topics. I'm actually starting to work on my presentation already. It's that important to me that it turns out to be a good presentation for everyone. Lots of audience participation, of course. So that'll be happening in October. So look forward to going out to Vegas and seeing all of you. Of course, Blueberry and Raw Voice, we're going to be out there. Full contingent of people. We have gotten so many hotel rooms reserved that we have enough for like one wing of the whole Hilton. Actually, maybe one floor. And I'm even exaggerating there. But we're definitely going to have some kind of cool giveaways as we get closer to Blog World Expo. So make sure you get registered to go, because you folks at Blueberry may actually pick up some hotel accommodations. So we'll be talking about that later. Okay, Podcast Madness. Podcast Madness is going on right now. You definitely want to get over to podcastmadness.com. I have the link up in the show notes. I don't have the new shows that are actually given codes out this week, but I'll have those up in the show notes. You're going to want to go check those shows out, because you're going to get a chance to win at the end of the month a bevy of prizes that we have put out that have been contributed. Tonight, I'm going to be giving away a prize to one of the listeners that have went over to Podcast Madness and actually entered. So I got a cool prize for a winner tonight. And it's going to be an Apple product of some sort. Haven't decided yet exactly what the total prize value will be. But I definitely want to show appreciation to those that have went over. And, you know, this audience, you guys, you're going to have to get on the ball here, because this is just blows me away that we only had 49 people go over and register at podcastmadness.com. Usually it's like 500, 600, 700, 800, 1,000. 49 people went and registered. So we'll see. One of the 49 are going to – what great odds. Great odds to win a great prize. So we'll be doing that a little later in the show, and you guys can hang out and hear who won. But I'm kind of disappointed. What's everybody doing? Is everybody enjoying summer and not listening to tech? Maybe that's what it is. But numbers are up on the podcast. And, you know, the viewing audience on Ustream is relatively a small number of folks. But our listening audience, is well into six figures now. We have a huge listening audience, and definitely show my appreciation to them. And I want to, of course, I'm very humbled by all of you allowing me to come out and do this show twice a week for you. Okay, let me look and see what else I've got in my list of stuff here that I was going to cover tonight. Not too much stuff. All right, let's talk a little bit about show 500. We are now really, we're at show number 493 tonight. So we are just, really weeks away from show number 500. And my plan on show number 500 this year is to help a needy family, that may be having a little economic troubles because of the way the economy is, someone that might be out of work or getting ready to transition. But I'm looking for submissions. If your family, if you're a little tight right now, things have, you basically are in a point right now where you're in a transition from a job, maybe you've been laid off, you're looking, we definitely want to take care of a family here of the Ohana on show number 500. So starting tonight, I'm going to put an email address in the show notes, and we're going to do a little bit of an extra deal here. And I know that some of you may be in better financial state than others. So those of you that are, if you want to contribute a few dollars towards the Show 500 prize, please do so. I'm going to put up a minimum amount of money yet to be determined, so that we will have a nice cash prize for – not a cash prize, essentially an honorarium to one of our listeners of the show. So I'm going to guarantee at least $500 right out the bat here. And hopefully we can get matching dollars, dollar for dollar. Maybe I can do that. Maybe I'll do dollar for dollar matching up to a certain point. But I have a link up in the show notes tonight where if you feel like you want to donate towards our giveaway. And what I'm going to do is all you got to do is send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. If you are or know of a Geek News Central listener that is in dire straits and needs some extra help, definitely send me an email. Give me like a paragraph of what's going on. And if you don't want me to read your note on the air, that's fine. But I am definitely going to hand pick a family where we're going to have some giveaway money to that family on our 500th show. I'll have some other prizes too. I've been storing up a bunch of stuff that people have been sending me, so I'll have some cool stuff to give away on Show 500 as well, so far as prizes go as well, to the rest of the Ohana out there. But I thought that would be kind of something nice to do, being that we are, in the economy, the way the economy is going right now, the way it is, and you make it a little unique. We've gave a bunch of money to disabled American veterans last year during the 24-hour podcast. You guys came through with a huge number of donations. I think we were close to $2,000 or maybe a little over $2,000 last year on that. Accordingly, we had some big kick-ins by some folks as well. But I'm not asking for a lot, just a little bit. If you can spare a few bucks, I have an email address and where you can PayPal information to. And then, of course, we'll definitely have full disclosure on who has won, and hopefully they will be willing to come on the show and talk about that a little bit, because I want to make sure that you guys know that you're getting what I'm basically trying to put forth in the way of promotions and so forth. Also, I got an email from one of our previous winners saying, hey, where is my prize? And I asked my wife, where are those boxes that had shipping labels on them that were supposed to be shipped? And my daughter says, you mean these? And she came in from the garage. And I just about beat my head against the concrete here this afternoon because I thought they were long gone, and that's my fault. So, yes, there are two packages sitting here that need to go out, and I feel this was not supposed to be happening anymore, but we will get those out in the mail. They're actually in my car now, so I will take them personally instead of relying on someone else to take them. I should have done that in the first place. So my bust and my apologies up front. Okay, let's see. Let's go ahead and take care of a little business here. Hey, there's a new page on Geek News Central, and you'll definitely want to check it out. You'll see it in the show notes tonight. It's a page that lists all of our GoDaddy promo codes, has all of the basically how you can save money in utilizing the different codes. And what I really need is if you guys blog or if you have a Twitter account, if you want to do me a favor, link back to that page for me. I would greatly appreciate it. It gives me a little more Google juice to get it a little up higher in the ranking there, and that ultimately helps the show as people use those promotion codes across the world. And anything you guys can do to give me some Google juice on that particular link, I would appreciate it. But if you're looking to save some money, I've had a little bit of trouble using that Todd20 code. So I got an email out to the folks at GoDaddy. So that Todd20 code, which is supposed to be a 20% off 1 year shared host or a 1 year shared hosting account or 24 month 1 or 2 year shared hosting account, have not had any luck using that as of recent. So I'm going to discontinue the TOD 20 code for now. I'll let you guys know when it's good to go. But the TODD code, 10%, the Geek 5, 15% off on $20 or more. ComSale for .com renewals. Those are all available for you to use. They'll be up in that show note page, or actually in that page I made specifically for it. And you can pick the code where you can maximize your savings. There's multiple ones there. I think there's like 6 or 7 you can use. And even SSL certificates, $12.99. And those are usually like $34. So a $12.99 SSL certificate, those are good ones to – that's a good one to use as well if you're looking for – basically making your website capable of having a HTTPS extension with all the security that goes along with a secure SSL certificate. So I want to thank GoDaddy, of course, for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And they're the ones that really help me keep the lights on, and appreciate your support when you get over there to GoDaddy.com. Okay, let's talk about the roundtable that did not happen. Well, it just didn't happen. It just didn't come together. Some of the Tech Podcast members weren't available. Everyone's doing the summer thing, vacation, so forth. We just did not have enough people to put together a good event. So we're going to slide the event to this coming Saturday. So we hope that you'll come and hang out with us. I know there were some Twitters asking what's going on. How come the live event's not up? I should have put something up that we had canceled. I apologize, but we're moving it to this coming Saturday. And I'll let you know on the next show exactly what we've got lined up, but we'll definitely be on this coming Saturday for a roundtable at 1 Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Of course, GoToMeeting, the best way to really have an online meeting. You can get a free 30-day trial. All you have to do is go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. And really, you save money, you save time, you don't have to travel. You can do stuff in your office. You can meet with people right online. It's simple, very, very simple to use. I use it here on a daily basis. It has my absolute highest endorsement. GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day demo. Okay, let's go ahead and move into the regular content tonight. And I got a stack of stuff. I think I'm going to save the price stuff until the end of the show. So, Jeffrey, thanks for getting that around for me. I know he's he's actually on Ustream right now watching. He got that that data pulled down and sent over to me. We've got some voicemails, or actually one voicemail tonight, and some emails as well. If you have comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. Again, +1-619-342-7365. All right, to start this night off, I'm going to point you over to an article on – there's actually been a lot of information out in the news the last week or so about IE6 and the number of people that have not either upgraded to IE7 or IE8, but yet they've continued to see a decline in the number of people using it. But there was Dig, the folks over there were saying, hey, you know, it costs us a lot of money, a lot of time to continue to support IE6 to make the websites backward compatible. And they said basically at some point they're going to stop supporting IE6, and essentially you'll be able to go to the website, kind of surf around, but you will not be able to actually log into the website. Now, they didn't give a timeline on that, but I think what it is, in all honesty, why the number of people are still using IE6 is because so many people, when they go to their workplace, the IT techs, of course, I wanted to use a different term, but the folks that control those desktops and have them locked down, basically, for a better word, haven't upgraded them, either because they're worried about compatibility with other web apps on the company intranet, or they're worried about basically opening up security holes by having IE7 or IE8 loaded. I just don't get it, really, because really I think IE6 in itself has got some pretty serious security issues along with it. So I don't understand that full mentality. But there's a graph on Asa Dolzer's website over at weblogs.mozillazine.org talking about right now the market is still showing about 20% IE6, whereas IE7 has climbed to 50% of the market. And then they show a big, of course, a big climb of IE8 here over the last couple of weeks, where it's now running about 15%. So I would have thought that IE8 would have grown much, much faster than it has. There is another graph he shows on there where there's a diverging path of IE7 and IE8, which makes sense. And they've actually, he's got some projected where in about August or October of this year that those two browsers will cross path in market share. But it is kind of an interesting prediction here of what's going on with the Internet Explorer browser. So I have this linked up in the show notes. You can check it out for yourselves and make your own personal opinion. Hey, my good friend Chris Perillo, he's getting ready to have Gnome Dex here soon. And I'm looking forward. Hopefully, I'm going to be able to go out. I don't know 100% yet if I'm going to be able to. It's just right around the corner. I'm really going to try hard. I'm going to have to lock in a ticket here soon, which is pretty expensive in itself. So don't know if I'm going to – got to make the commitment here, but I want to go out to Gnome Dex. But Chris was out, and I don't know how he scored this, but in early June, he went out to the USS Nimitz. And I guess he spent some time on the aircraft carrier, and he had pretty good access to the ship and to the skipper and the, you know, different department heads and so forth. But he did an interview with a gentleman, and I don't even know who he is. He might be the actual skipper of the boat. Who knows? But talks about technology in the Navy. It talks about how, you know, a ship that was made in the 60s has had to adapt, you know, and keep the technology current and what they've had to do. And it's pretty good read here. A pretty good watch. It's a 10-minute video. I'll have the link up in the show notes. He has it hosted over on YouTube. You don't even have to really watch the video itself. You can just listen to the audio. They have it in a officer's wardroom, it looks like. But pretty cool. Gives you an indication of how your tax, those of you in the United States, how taxpayer dollars are at work. Really think in a good way. So I have this linked up in the show notes. You can check it out. A little bit of controversy today about Verizon. Verizon is getting ready to, I guess, make a launch of their app store. And, you know, Verizon's been about control here recently. And this is something that I found pretty amazing here. And I want to, it's actually an article off of Engadget, but a lot of folks have been, have essentially been reporting on this, is that they are going to be basically, you know, controlling their app store just like Apple does, you know, and allowing certain amount of apps in. But one thing that they've done is that while the app store is going to be convenient for consumers and devs, one thing that they've decided to do is that non-Verizon app stores like the BlackBerry App World or Windows Marketplace won't be bundled with smartphones out of the box, which means that consumers are going to have to take the initiative to download those portals for themselves, and they feel this is an incredibly bad move on Verizon's part in that, you know, a lot of apps are going up on these secondary websites, but Verizon is basically, you know, kind of thumbing their nose at those independent development communities. So they don't fully understand that, why they're going to do that, because really what's going to end up happening is developers are going to have to submit to one place, they're going to have to, you know, basically maintain their libraries at two different locations, which to me kind of makes sense anyway if it's a separate website. But they say you're going to have to submit two approval applications if they want inclusion on Verizon's own store. I guess with Verizon's large subscriber base, they can get away with this, but we'll see what the full details are. But the devs don't seem to be too happy about what they're essentially how they're rolling out their app store. So how many of you that have Verizon smartphones are actually getting access to any type of apps right now? Where are you guys getting your apps for your smartphones? Are you going to third-party websites? What are you using? Are you able to get them on okay? Does it matter if you're using a BlackBerry or if you have a Windows mobile phone? You know, what are the deltas there? What are you guys seeing out there? Because, be honest with you, I have no experience with Verizon whatsoever on any of their smartphone devices, so I'd like to hear from some of you that maybe can dial me in a little bit and get the rest of our audience, the rest of the Ohana here, clued in. You can call in your comments to the voicemail hotline at +1 619 342 7365, or send me some links to some cool websites so we can get people up to speed. And really, I'm trying to come up to speed a lot, fast. Well, I'm behind. I'm actually behind in, let me change that view. I'm a little bit behind in what other carriers are doing as far as apps go. And that's really kind of a bad thing in my position. So I'm going to try to get educated up here real quick and get up to speed. You know, it's very evident to me. As many times as I have been playing with my apps on my iPhone over the last week, that I'm going to this a lot more than I thought I would for certain type of content. So do you guys find yourself doing that as well? Love to hear your feedback. All right, let's move on here. Iron Key. This is a USB drive that is the most physically and cryptological secure thumb drive in existence. It's being touted as the world's first and only USB flash drive certified for FIPS 140-2 Security Level 3, whatever that means. It has hardware-based AES 256-bit encryption in CBS mode, a tamper-resistant and tamper-evident rugged metal case, a hardware-based malware protection, trusted network restrictions, which prevents a device from unlocking on trusted PCs, and a lot of other goodies that come with it. It starts at $79.99. But they've got some serious acronyms behind this thing. And as much press as I've seen about this today, I'm thinking that this probably is going to be the world's most physically and cryptological secure thumb drive. So you can check that out. I have the link up to it in the show notes. And really, for $79, not bad. How many thumb drives have you guys lost with something on it? I've lost a few. Actually, I've washed more. run more of them through the washer and dryer than anything else. Okay, let me switch the view on this thing. Yeah, Apollo 11. Well, we're coming up on the 40th anniversary at 8:02 a.m. on July 16th. The Apollo 11 really was the mission that in the Apollo series that is the most famous. We put men on the moon. There was a lot of stuff that happened with Apollo 11 that is referenced today a great deal. And what they're going to do is, with the Shuttle Endeavor still on the ground because of weather, now they're going to try to go on Wednesday again. We'll see what happens there, because I was watching the launch sequence today. They went down to their 9-minute hold and scrub because of weather, and it really did look pretty nasty out. But behind the scenes, workers at NASA has made a Apollo 11 recreation, a website that recreates the actual mission. And you're going to be able to check this out. It's going to be pretty cool. We're going to be able to go to a website on the 16th. And actually, for about 90 minutes prior to the 40th anniversary, starting at 8:02 a.m., you'll be able to essentially watch what happened in the past. And they're going to recreate the Apollo launch. A lot of it will be done through the power of cool graphics that we have today. And you'll be able to hear, some of the old, basically the recreated commentary and so forth. So we'll have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check that out if you have time to watch the basically the recreation of the Apollo 11 moon mission. I think I've got something in here later that talks about NASA finding some tapes. We'll get to that here in a little while as well. All right, there's an image of the Zune HD Marketplace that is showing some, essentially it looks to me like a eval unit. And I can tell you that folks at Zune have really worked at increasing the amount of visible screen space. So I have this link up in the show notes, and we'll see what happens with that and see when that's going to come out. There's a cool video. It's called A Kaleidoscope of Dance of the Inkjet Printer. And this one is purely entertainment. I'll have this. This is using a bunch of HP printers. all I can say is people that do these kinds of video shoots and use, you know, basic items like a printer to do this. Now, I tried to count how many sheets of paper they printed to do this, and I don't know how many it was. It was going too fast because they obviously time-lapsed this video. That they essentially use 8 HP printers in a variety of different positions and a couple of computers to give you a little show that I think you'll get a kick out of. So I'll have that linked up in the show notes. It's over on Vimeo, but I found the link to it over on Gizmodo. Mark Cantor, those of you that may or may not know Mark, he is an icon of Silicon Valley. He made a lot of money back in the 80s. And Mark is heading to Ohio. And what's kind of interesting about this is Mark got really, 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 really rich. I don't know how much of that money he's got left from his dot-com days and the businesses he had in the basically computer business. But he did make a pile. But he is basically moving out of California and heading towards Ohio. Matter of fact, he's going to be going to a Cincinnati meetup, which I told Angelo, you need to go and at least say hello and meet Mark and welcome to the Ohio Valley. So any of you that are in the in Michigan, Indiana, Ohio area and want some information on this, you'll definitely want to check out Mark's blog at broadbandmechanics.com. Have the link up in the show notes, but essentially he's saying adios to California and moving to Ohio. We talked a little bit about that on a previous show, but he feels that there's opportunity there in the Ohio Valley area, and he's going out to actually build some new businesses, so that's going to be kind of cool. All right, over on GigaOhm, Business Week. Business Week is a magazine that I think we're all familiar with. We know that, you know, the Kevin Rose was made essentially world famous by his cover picture on Business Week. Of course, the magazine that owns Business Week also owns Fortune and Forbes. It appears that Business Week is for sale. This is and Forbes and Fortune, but Business Week is going to be the first to go. So this is kind of a curious move here. You know, these are some pretty heady magazines, ones that you would not think would be, you know, having issues. But icons of the print world, you know, I have often read Forbes and Fortune, and not as often on Business Week. But those three periodicals are on death row. And they are looking for a buyer for them. So we'll see what happens with this. But I'm telling you, folks, the magazine, TV, newspaper business, they're all in trouble. Thank goodness for new media, right? Let's talk a little bit about the venture capital industry. Really, venture capital has really been responsible for, as much as I kind of despise venture capitalists, And I shouldn't say this, not all of them, but, you know, I've always thought that the VC model has been broken, especially, you know, considering the road we have just went down with Raw Voice. But the VC industry right now is taking as big a hit as anyone else is with the way the economy is. But this last quarter was the lowest amount of money that they have raised since 2003. And GigaOhm is saying, is the VC industry ready to change, or is it just short on cash? You know, I don't know. I don't know if these folks are, you know, they take money out of funds. They invest, you know, in very risky startups. You know, that's kind of the name of the game. You know, they expect to have one good dot-com out of either maybe 10 that they invest in. And with an 80 or 90% fail rate, it makes you really think that, you know, they must be, you know, very high risk takers and have too much money than common sense. But obviously, it's resulted in some big companies out there. You know, you look at Facebook, you look at some of the investments that was made there. You look at the investment that has been made in Twitter and, you know, look at MySpace and all those names of sites that have done very, very well over the years. But, you know, with those 3, 4, 5 ones that we can talk right off the top of our, you know, right off the tips of our fingers here, recent, you know, there's 1,000 others that have exited and failed. But $1.7 billion was handed over during the second quarter of this year. And if you think about that, that's still a considerable amount of money, especially if it is, you know, specifically targeted towards the tech industry. As compared to, let's look back here at 2008, it looks like $221 billion was raised in 2008. You know, so that's a lot of money. some fundraising in 2008 was $28 billion. So that was huge, as compared to $1.7 billion this quarter, in the second quarter of 2009. So all of 2008, $28 billion. So far this year, we've had about $6 billion raised within the VC industry. So they are definitely really, really down. But what do you guys think? You guys got any thoughts on the venture capitalist space? Anyone have anything in the know? Or is it just the economy, or is the VC model ready to change? All right, over on Scoble's website, this is probably, those of you that are Office users, you're going to want to go over and check out Scoble's post here. It's Microsoft's new Office 2010. He's got a ton of videos here that go over basically what's coming to Office 2010, talking about its new copy and paste feature, talking about the collaboration that's being built in, talking about PowerPoint. And I tell you, they've copied some things from Google here. I'm not from Google, from Apple. Talked a little bit about some JavaScript applications built into Office 2010, talking about some Excel stuff. So huge number of videos here. If you're an Office user, an Office fan, you definitely want to check this out, because definitely looks like Microsoft has invested a lot of money in this 2010 update. And I think this is, from what I've seen so far, it's pretty significant as compared to the last couple of updates, which have been kind of, in my opinion, kind of eh. So we'll see what happens. Of course, the online web space as far as Office Online is definitely heating up as well. So we'll see what happens with here. Of course, Google is doing everything they can to make sure that Office 2010 is not a success. Over on Lifehacker, I found a website that I kind of thought was kind of cool. They reviewed a website called FeedStitch. It combines multiple feeds into one. Looks like you can real easily just add 3, 4, 5 RSS feeds, and it creates you a custom RSS feed that you can subscribe to. I was playing around with it a little bit and was actually using it to combine some of my, I guess what you would call, custom searches I use for specific keywords. It's one of the features that we built into MyCast from the very beginning when we launched Blueberry. How long ago is that? 4 years ago, 3 years ago. We've got ability there where you can subscribe to different podcasts, and we combine that into one feed that's your own private RSS feed, where you can manage your subscriptions through a single RSS feed, which a lot of people use, and using the same principle there over there on FeedStitch, but on just standard RSS feeds. A lot of your different feed readers will do that as well. So it depends on how you want to consume data. This might be an option for you. And one thing that I found was kind of cool was that you can add a number of Twitter feeds. And that's what I liked about it, because there's 3, 4, 5 people that I like to really pay close attention to. But maybe I only go visit their website or go to their Twitter account once a day. And it's just basically allows me to kind of get a real quick and dirty look at those specific people on Twitter. And the best thing is it's a private RSS feed, and, you know, you can control that internally and not worry about it. How many of you guys have heard of ZFrank? He's been on YouTube. Have you guys seen ZFrank on YouTube? He's kind of like, he's really, he's a comedian, but he's out there. He's a little bit warped, and definitely has, I guess for a better word, he's strong and aggressive. CC Chapman has an article where he captured some video, or someone captured some video of ZFrank at a event called Webstock. And any of you that are creating media out there, you're definitely going to want to watch this video. If you're not inspired by the stories he shares, then you need to send me an email and tell me why. This is a good one. Takes you a little time to watch it, but I have a link up in the show notes here. And it's a must-watch for all of you interested in new media. Matter of fact, I've got to get another email out to our podcasters that we have that I've neglected over the past week. Those of you that are were part of our podcast winners for the five podcasters I'm going to be supporting over the next year as soon as we get you started, you definitely want to watch this video out. This will give you some motivation for sure. All right, over on Bing, on the Bing community blog, and it's been 1 month here, and they put a post up talking about where they have, you know, the site growth and what they're seeing happening over on Bing. They've been evaluating the processes people are using and measuring themselves, and what they found out was that on Bing Shopping, they've seen a nearly 3 times increase in site visits and a 5.42% increase in transactions to Bing Cashback. I don't know about Bing Cashback. You know, the Bing Cashback sounds good anytime you get cash back, right? So I have to check that out. The traffic to their Bing Travel site has increased by 90%. 90% month over month since launch. Now, how many of you have booked any travel through Bing Travel? You guys know I do a lot of travel, and I'm pretty aggressive in finding the cheapest airfares, as long as it's on United. How many of you have used Bing Travel? If you have, I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on this. Now, of course, they give some kudos out to the Bing community. They talk about advertisers on there, talk about webmasters and developers are actually submitting stuff to the Bing toolbox through the Bing API. So, you know, I think Bing is, you know, Microsoft may have done well here with Bing because they're definitely continuing to get some positive press out there. So we'll see how Bing continues to grow or if it just kind of flatlines through the coming months. All right, a little update on Windows 7. Are you guys excited about Windows 7? I'm just like stoked. I cannot wait. I really cannot. I'm ready for, you know, I've told you guys I've been playing with Windows 7 here on a machine. I really like it. It is definitely a step up from Vista. It does stuff a little different. You know, I'm a big Vista fan. I don't have any issues with Vista, but I'm really excited. I've already pre-ordered the upgrade copies that I have. I'm going to bring some XP machines up into Windows 7. So, and I'm pretty stoked about it. And I'm kind of curious if you guys have been playing with it all, whether or not you're ready for it, if you're going to upgrade. I was kind of cool on Vista for a while, but, you know, now I've been using it. Really, when I go back to an XP machine, especially when it's search on the desktop, when I'm trying to search for something, that's the biggest thing I use in Vista. It has the best search going. It really, really does. But Windows 7, equally impressive in the search, you know, finding documents and so forth. You got to remember, I have literally thousands of Word documents. I have literally thousands of spreadsheets. I have stats files. I have specific stuff stored for podcasters that submit data to me. I mean, it's all broken. And when I want to find something, I'm pretty organized, but still, it's much easier just to type in, you know, 3 or 4 letters or the word of the doc, which I know what the series is, and it just, boom, it finds it right away. And that's one of the big things I like about Vista. But Windows 7, same deal, you know. And there was some speculation that they were going to release to manufacturer either today or tomorrow, but they have not released to manufacturer yet. They're expecting, of course, the second half of July is just around the corner here, but they're expecting to release to a manufacturer sometime in the next 2 weeks. And they sent out another build to the beta testers. So that was available, and I didn't actually download it because it's you know, it's actually quite the pain to download and update every time. But they're almost ready, and it looks like October 22nd is still the looks like the launch date, just in time for you know, for the holiday shopping period. And make sure all these laptops are going to be bought during Christmas. We'll have Windows 7 on them. So I'm excited. I don't know about you guys. Okay, let's talk about Netflix. You have to admit, Netflix has won. They have beat everybody. They've been very bullish on everything that they've put out, the streaming video, you know, the delivery of their videos. Netflix is king, you know, in my opinion. They really, really are. And it is rumored that Amazon may buy Netflix. I don't know what I think about that. I don't know if I like the idea of Amazon owning Netflix. You know, Amazon's getting pretty big for their britches. And it's going to be curious to see if they do this and how the product will change, if at all. You know, I guess if you can't beat them at their own game, just buy them, right? So we will see what happens here. But the rumor on the street, this is on Bloomberg.com, is that Amazon may be looking to buy out Netflix. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here, okay? Let's talk about some rumors going on. Let's talk about an article over at theguardian.co.uk that has just gotten a bunch of people, especially the RIAA and a whole bunch of different news organizations, have simply lost their mind over comments of a 15-year-old. A 15-year-old who was a intern made some comments about how, you know, how his friends are basically using media, which led to them taking a survey of over 1,000 fans of a particular a band, and they found that 14 to 18-year-olds are now streaming music more than they are, quote-unquote, downloading the actual tracks. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, hey, I don't believe that. Not for a second. But it says here on the survey that 1,000 fans shown that many 14 to 18-year-olds, they don't get the quota here, are now streaming music regularly online using services such as YouTube and Spotify. At the same time, less than a third of the teenagers are now illegally downloading music. The survey suggests in January this year, 26% of the 14 to 18-year-olds admitted file sharing at least once a month, compared with 42% in December of 2007. Okay. It's, you know, the RIAA folks are jumping for joy. They think they've turned the corner on, you know, illegal downloads. But this has been, this specific article was linked to at least by 10 different major sites today, kind of saying, are you guys really think that the amount of peer-to-peer usage is going down? And are you guys going to, you know, count your blessings on what's happening within industry by just sampling only 1,000 14 to 18-year-olds? So, I don't know. We'll see. But they seem to think this is the trend. What are you guys seeing at your house? What are your 14 to 18-year-olds doing? I know that probably most of the audience that listens to this show, at least, don't allow their kids to download stuff via peer-to-peer. But if they are, what are they? You doing more peer-to-peer? Are they doing more streaming or what? Love to hear you guys, ask your kids what their friends are doing. And I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on that. All right, the American Heart Association has gotten behind a CPR game for the Wii. Practicing with a Wii controller may not seem like the best way to learn CPR, but the American Heart Association says it's good enough. The organization has pledged $50,000 towards the completion of a project that will eventually make learning CPR as easy as downloading an open-source app and transmitting it to a Wii. Now, I go every 2 years and get my CPR cert. I go and, for a better word, I go and press and blow on the dummy. Now, those of you that have gotten a CPR qual, you know what I'm talking about. And actually, back in the 90s, I had to do CPR for real on a gentleman. Sadly, he had collapsed much. He'd been on the ground and without a pulse for too long. before I had discovered him. Actually, me and another guy discovered this guy. But we did our best, and it's hard work. If you think you know, doing your CPR qual on a dummy is, you know, y'all laugh about, you know, getting the compressions right and everything else. Doing it for real on a person will wipe you out in about 15 minutes. It really will. It's hard work. But the I think this is a good idea, you know, and make it fun for people to learn how to do CPR. And, you know, when you're somewhere and someone collapses, you'll be there to hopefully save someone's life. And it really does make a difference, I'm telling you. When a person is having a heart attack or some sort of other life event, long as you can, you know, keep the airflow into them and keep that heart beating until, you know, the ambulance arrives, it may be the difference between someone living and dying. And I encourage everyone to go out and get their CPR qual. But we'll see what happens with this Wii game, the CPR game for the Wii. Funding for iPhone startups passes $100 million. I think the amount of money that has been invested in Twitter startups probably has passed $100 million as well. But number of companies that have been invested in are 17. 22 rounds of funding. Average level of funding is $4.6 million, with the largest deal over $15.5 million. And total invested was $102 million. This most active VC, of course, was Kleiner Perkins. They're one of the bigger venture capitalist firms, but $102 million invested on little 99-cent phone apps. Isn't that something? PingWire. How many are using PingWire on your iPhone? I'm using it, and it's pretty cool. It's you can basically take a picture, and then all you do is attach it, and it uploads it to PingWire's website, and then it links it on your Twitter account. And real easy to do, just a couple-step process. But PingWire is showing a live stream of TwitPic photos. And that's the actual app you actually use, is TwitPic. And pretty cool. So PingWire, you can check that out. And, of course, the TwitPic tool. I think I got confused there. I was actually looking at the phone. Where is my TwitPic app? I got TweetMic there. There it is, TwitPic. And those of you on Ustream can see it. So the TwitPic pictures that you send up are now you can see on PingWire. too many websites. Now the question is, why doesn't TwitPic have a live stream of TwitPic photos? That's the question. All right, Microsoft is warned of a new attack as Patch Tuesday nears. Microsoft warning of a limited attack targeted a vulnerability in Microsoft Office components. And the warning comes the day before Patch Tuesday, which this month is slated to include fixes to a number of critical vulnerabilities. And Microsoft's warning about the flaw. And I guess what happens here is that Microsoft Office web components are a collection of component object model controls for publishing and viewing charts, spreadsheets, and databases on the web. So if you do much of that, if you're looking at spreadsheets and you're looking at different types of databases and or utilizing ActiveX, don't do it until they get this plugged. I don't know when they're going to patch this, but here I don't know the last time I actually looked at an Excel spreadsheet based in a web page. It's probably been I don't even remember the last time, but I know a lot of companies use this. Let's talk a little bit about Pandora. We talked about it on the last show, and the 25% of their profits they have to give to the ASCAP for, or actually to the RIAA and those different groups for performance rights. If you've listened to any traditional radio, I actually got an email from someone a couple of days ago saying that he keeps hearing these announcements on public radio talking about how radio stations may be forced to play a performance fee. AKA, I told you about the ASCAP wanting to actually charge us every time we had a musical ringtone and people heard it. They wanted us to pay a performance fee for that. Well, Pandora is now pushing to get radio stations to pay for music the same way that they have to. U.S. radio stations currently don't pay performers and producers for the music they play, but the recording industry hopes to change that with a new performance rights bill in Congress. Webcaster Pandora has jumped into the fray on the side of artists and labels asking why radio gets a free ride when Pandora does not. That's actually a good case. So, you know, with Pandora having drank the Kool-Aid, and essentially on the record label side, now they've got a way to, you know, this is kind of a way to kind of do digs at broadcast radio. Now, broadcast radio does pay certain fees, but they don't pay this performance fee. And if you don't know, there's ASCAP, BMI, and one other, at least here in the United States, where all three take a little piece of money. One is for the person that wrote the music, one is for the person that performed it, and one is for the copyright holder, I think. And so obviously each of those groups want a piece of this, you know, this cash cow that's out there, and radio stations are now the target of it. So we'll see what happens. I think it's fair is fair. If you know, if I'm going to be listening to radio on your terrestrial radio, and I can come into my house and listen to Pandora and listen to a streaming radio show, I think that what's fair is fair, right? And if Pandora's going to have to pay, so should the traditional broadcasters. All right, talk about the tapes. This is over on Slashdot. NASA apparently has found the Apollo 11 tapes. It was speculated that they had lost those at one time. And I guess now they have actually found those, and they're starting to restore the tapes. They're going to be giving a briefing on the day of the anniversary about the tapes, and they believe that they're going to release greatly improved video imagery from the July 1969 live broadcast of the Apollo 11 moonwalk. Now, if you remember correctly, what you have seen so far of the Apollo 11 moonwalk is what was put up on regular television stations. Now, what they have is the original tape recordings of that. Much, much higher definition of anything we've ever seen before. So I'm pretty excited. Now, the original signals recorded on high-quality slow-scan TV, SSTV tapes, which should result in some amazing video pictures, because what was released on TV was lower quality. They had to crunch it down to make it, you know, to essentially get it out quickly across the airwaves. So I think what they actually did is they actually put a camera, if I remember the story correctly, the video monitor that was displaying the actual recorded stuff was they were actually filming a monitor. I think they had actually taken a camera. You guys know how that flicker worked. We saw those flickers in the Apollo 11 footage. So this is the actual stuff. So it's pretty exciting. We'll see what happens with this. And this will be the first time I think the general public will have been able to see some of this footage. So it's just going to be like we'll relive the Apollo 11 landing and so forth. Wells Fargo. This is non-tech, but Wells Fargo has sued itself. Now, Wells Fargo is largely a California bank. When I lived in California, I had a Wells Fargo account. How can they sue themselves? But apparently, they've hired a lawyer to defend themselves against its own lawsuit. And it has something to do with different divisions within Wells Fargo and different types of home loans that have went bad, but Wells Fargo has sued Wells Fargo. That's simply amazing. It really, really is that you can sue yourself. Talk about just like loading a gun and shooting yourself. That's just, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you work? If you're a company, why couldn't you just like fix it? I really don't understand. All right, TechDirt has a response to that streaming article we talked about from the UK. I'll have that up in the show notes. Also, interesting anecdote here. It appears that the younger generation who's going to work for companies today are causing a paradigm shift in companies where they're basically teaching the companies that personal surfing during work hours isn't so evil. Now, you know, in the old days, Let's just really think back here. Before everyone had a computer on their desk, secretaries had largely typewriters. Draftsmen had draftsman boards. And, you know, so, you know, people worked for a certain amount of time. They had to get up and take a break. They went out and, you know, back in the day when smoking was more prevalent, people would go out and have a smoke break and, you know, get a cup of coffee or whatever. Well, you know, largely today, people don't take a lot of breaks at work. Most people don't smoke. People still drink coffee and so forth, but, you know, maybe they bring their own latte with them. They have it at their desk, or maybe their own coffee machine at their desk. So they stay right there. So, you know, the internet break today is kind of replacing the what was known before as that, you know, that official water cooler time, or the place where you went out and had a cigarette or something. So they're saying that this is kind of the transition we're in right now, is where companies are starting to loosen up control of their internet pipe, finding that a little bit of surfing made employees happier and more productive. And this makes sense. It really, really does. How many of you just take, you know, during your workday, you maybe take, in an hour, you may take 5 minutes to check out a Twitter stream, or you check out the news, or, you know, you go to maybe three or four websites, 5 minutes, boom, okay. And you say, okay, I've done enough. I need to go back to work. How many of you do that? I'm sure a lot of you do. And but it's just that little kind of break in routine that you need to stay more productive, right? I think, you know, anyone that says that they don't do that, I think, is largely lying, because you can only stay focused on tasks so long. You know, here at the house, I'm working on stuff. I get up, I go inside, and, you know, I flip through a couple of news stations, or I check something online, and, you know, take a few minute breaks. Oh, I need to get back, and I get back, and I sit down, and I crunch through stuff for a couple of hours. So are you seeing this paradigm shift at your work, or is your work basically still saying no surfing? You have to stay within our, you know, specific guidelines of when you can actually do something. All right, I want to talk a little bit about an article in Wired talking about the Department of Energy. You know, the national labs, we've got several of them in this country. Los Alamos, we've got Sandia National Labs, lots of places where a lot of cool science go on, a lot of big brains that are there. They're doing all kinds of, you know, remarkable amount of stuff. And I've met some people that in the past that have worked at some of these national labs, and they've got big brains, folks. Big, big brains. You can get a PhD just by hanging out with them. You really can. But apparently, the Department of Energy is going to lose a new energy research and development program developed by the Obama administration if cuts to the agency budget by congressional committees made last week become law. And this is really sad here, because these labs do some amazing stuff. They have really some amazing people that work there, and they really are responsible for a lot of the technology transfer that comes out of those groups and goes into commercial companies to build products, or, you know, to advance in technology. And, you know, there's been Nobel Peace Prizes. There's been breakthroughs in atomic energy, you know, just you name it. It's happened within the United States National Labs. And I think that the money that is, or the advancements that are made by these groups, are so outstanding. It just shocks me to think that we would shut down this new Baby Bell lab, which was a energy research and development program. You know, you would think energy research, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to figure something out with this, you know, these energy issues we're having. And you got this, you know, this smart group of people that are working on, you know, some of the biggest challenges we face, and they're going to cancel it. You know, you look what DARPA does. You know, DARPA is kind of like this think tank of brilliant people that, you know, people say, what if? How do you fix this solution? And they go out and do it. And the DOE, you know, has to have their own kind of think tank like this. And we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But I hope that they're able to keep that going. I understand that budget cuts have to be made, but, you know, when you're dealing with energy research, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It really doesn't. You'd think that's where you'd want to be investing money. All right, over on Wired Science at Wired.com, top 10 scientific music videos. You'll have to check some of these out. These are the top 10 videos you want to watch where you can actually learn something from watching these. So I'll have these up in the show notes. You guys can you check it out? Okay, let me go ahead and get into the voicemail comments here. I think I only got one. And let me go ahead and actually close the browser, because where is Winamp? Oh, I know what's going on there. No wonder I'm sucking so much CPU utilization out of my computer. I was asked by someone to send them a picture today of me, and I sent them a picture, and I said, oh, Todd, that looks so corporate. Send something cooler. So I was digging through my my photos. You know, yeah, I take pictures of everyone else, but do you ever take pictures of yourself? No. So when someone asks for a cool picture, I'm kind of looking through. I'm like, I don't have no cool pictures of myself. But I told my wife coming here, okay, take some pictures of me sitting at the desk. And she shot 4 or 5, and I'm going to send him one of those. Okay, here comes the one and only voicemail for tonight. If you want to send a voicemail, +1-619-342-7365. Pick up the phone and call now. Let me go ahead and play this for you. I thought I was. Let's try that again.
Hey, Todd. Mike here.
Hey, Mike.
From Traverse City, Michigan.
Hey.
And I had a question for you. It's not exactly tech-related, but it's Hawaii-related.
Sure.
Now, you live on Oahu in Honolulu.
Yep.
But do you get to any of the other islands
on
a regular basis? And how does that occur? Do they use ferry boats, helicopters, or you take a flight? I'm looking at a map here, and you got Maui and the Big Island, and Oahu seem to be the populated islands. I've only been to Hawaii once, and it was a very short stop with the Air Force over at Hickam. And didn't get to hang around or check it out any, but I was just curious, how normal is it for, you know, somebody that lives on Oahu to go over to Maui or to the Big Island, or any of the little islands? Just curious. So anyway, great show. Keep up the good work. Catch you later.
Hey, thanks for that. And really, you know, there's since I've been here, the one way to get between islands is obviously flying. We have small commuter jets that, just like you would take a small commuter jet from one city to another, that's what we have here that largely does the people hauling back and forth. Most of the actual inter-island cargo goes via a barge. Hawaii has this basically anti-competitive law called the Jones Act. You can read about it. It's pretty amazing law that's in place where it limits the amount of competition of who can carry what between different islands, and it really causes a big problem for cruise ships that are here. But anyway, they've got a couple of companies that haul equipment and food and gas and stuff between the different islands. But we used to have what was called the Super Ferry until the anti-business and environmentalists here essentially run the Super Ferry out. Basically, Super Ferry was just like a ferry you would find in the United States in the Seattle area and so forth. Drive your car on, basically go hang out in a lounge, and you drive your car off at your destination. They were run out of here on rails because of the it's a long story, but not a good state to start business in. So the Super Ferry is gone, and which just essentially the only thing we really have for passengers is to fly across to the different islands. I don't get to other islands a lot. We generally try to go to a new island every year or a new area and take a small mini vacation, 2 or 3 days, get a rental car, drive around the we recently went to Maui. I've been to the Big Island. There's different. Believe me, and the Big Island's big. You can put a lot of miles on a rental car over there. Oahu, a way I like to describe it is Oahu is kind of like the Las Vegas of Hawaii. And then if you want to go kick your feet back, you go to one of the outer islands. And you know, Kauai is a famous place. Maui's famous for just basically at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, they roll the sidewalks up, and it just gets very quiet, and it's a place to kick back and relax and really decompress. You want to have fun? Oahu's where it's at, although we do have places to decompress. Matter of fact, close to where I live here, they've got the Kolina Resorts, which is absolutely fabulous. It's a Marriott property, a great place to go and stay and relax, and yet you're close enough you can drive into the city and have fun when you want to. Lots of stuff to see, of course, throughout the islands as well. But most of the products come into Hawaii via container on container ships, and then is transferred to go to the other islands. We have all our crude oil is brought here. We mostly get our crude from Central America, and all of our gasoline is actually produced here in Hawaii. They don't ship it in, so we actually have a refinery. Actually, as a crow flies, there's probably a refinery about 5 miles from my house. It's right on the edge of the coast, and really, we never have it in this. What you would associate as a pollution problem with that refinery. But I tell you, we are a little isolated place, and everything here is all our power is driven on oil, which cost makes our electricity to be relatively high. My electricity bill last month was $234. I have no AC, and basically the computers all get shut down. Except for one, when I'm not doing the show. So it's relatively expensive so far as electricity goes. When the gas was real high or oil was real high, I think my bill was approaching $400 a month for just juice. Gallon of gas right now is three, da, 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 what is it? $3.20 a gallon, I think, is what we're paying. A gallon of milk costs you $5, $6 if you're shopping outside of Costco or something like that. So definitely expensive, but it's a great place to live. I call it the paradise tax, and there's no place on earth like it. I know that because I've traveled everywhere. Great airfares to Hawaii right now. Cheap, cheap, cheap. Hotels are at record low prices. If you've got the money, now is the time to come to Honolulu. Some of the best deals I have ever seen. So there's my pitch for coming out to Hawaii. Let's go ahead and get into the email comments. All right, got an email from Keith. He said, "Hey, Todd, I'm watching your Ustream here in California." He says, "There's a free service out of San Francisco called OpenDNS.com. Brian Livingston of WindowsSecrets.com out of Seattle recommends them. OpenDNS allows you to control what web pages you access. They can stop phishing, porn, adult, gambling, and other sites that you choose. This will stop your son from any adult websites. We use OpenDNS here. We like it. You can program it from your router so any computer in your LAN is protected, or you can program the individual computers. It's a cool service. Keith, one step ahead of you. You've been using it for a long time. It is a good service, although at times it can be a little finicky. So your mileage will vary. Got an email here from Edward. Say, "Hey, Todd, we've been trying to tell you to hop on board with this unit for some time now. Perfect? No, but it does show the way of the future. I also like the Mophie battery pack, but as bat technology advances, that will all the more enhance the iPhone platform. Now, if only we could speed up a tie-in with Verizon, but that's another topic. Aloha to you and your family from me and mine here in Central Massachusetts. Eddie sent from my iPhone." Eddie, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Okay, here is a job announcement, and this is from Jose. He says, "Hi, Todd. I'd like to announce that I'm looking for any gigs in my area. I do any freelance photography from weddings to fine art photography. That includes, but limited to, photography sessions for models, senior photos, commercial, etc. Anyone in the Stanislaus County, Stanislaus, Stanislaus County, can reach me at photomixedmedia@yahoo.com or mibpro3030@yahoo.com. Or they can call me at 209-622-5507. Thank you, Todd." Hey, that's the way to do it. If you're looking for a job, if you need work, if you're looking to promote your services, email me at geeknews@gmail.com. I'll be happy to read it on the air. I'll have Jose's information up on their website along with some keyword stuff in there so that if anyone is searching on Stanislaus County, they can find Jose's information. I don't even, what state is that in? 209. I have to look that up in the cross-reference. But thanks for that, Jose. Good luck. We'll hopefully send some people your way. got an email from one of our Ohana, and I want to thank them for their entry on a 500 show. Maybe adopting, you know, talking about us adopting a family here for the 500th show. So we'll have, I'll have this up in my list of people to review. Again, if you're one of the Ohana and you are facing severe financial times, send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. It's open to any listener of the show, okay? And everyone will be given due consideration, absolutely. Got an email from Henry. He said, Aloha, Todd. In GNC491, you were talking about a bad Skype connection with the Twit Cottage. Leo talks about using a dedicated ports with his Skype guests. This link may help in improving your Skype sessions. And he gives me a link to how to be a guest on Twit TV. Yes, he does have a lot of bandwidth, though. And keep up the quality podcast, Henry in Livonia, Michigan. Livonia. I should know that. I'm from Michigan. Henry, thanks for that. And you know, I was having a video chat with Andy McCaskey. He's out in Indiana, and his and I's was perfect, so I have no idea what's going on. Okay, I think that's it for tonight, folks, as far as email goes. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1 619-342-7365. Love to hear your comments on the show. And have a little special information on how you can participate in our 500th podcast tonight in the show notes. So look forward to that. Don't forget podcastmadness.com. We've got some new shows that are promoting codes this week. Definitely want to go check them out. If you go over there and you participate, and when you go on Twitter, you can use the hashtag podcastmadness on Twitter, or link it up in your blogs and let people know. Let's get the word out. And we're trying to promote other shows. Don't forget, we have a weekly tech podcast over at techpodcast.com. You just go over to techpodcast.com, check out the blog, and that way you can check out all the shows over there that have been doing segments for you, so you can get a sampler of different tech shows. At Geek News Central is a great way to get introduced to new tech shows. So I want to give a shout out to all those folks over there, and a big thanks for their participation. I'll be coming up here in a couple weeks doing a new show, but you'll definitely want to check all the episodes that have been put up. Lots of great content, lots of great exposure to some new shows that you may not be familiar with. And again, that's at blog.techpodcast.com. All right, folks, that's it for tonight. We'll see you on Friday, Thursday night, for those of you on Ustream. Everyone take care. Have a great, safe week. Take care, and aloha.